Hello, and welcome to the news cycle. I'm Katrina Hawes, and I'll be your host for today. It's Monday, April 19th. Last Monday, April 12th, marked the start of hybrid learning for all DJUSD schools. Prior to the return to campus, families were given the choice to continue distance learning or attend in person. With many students opting to return to in-person instruction, the first week was a true experiment for all involved. Max Davis Housefield has the story.
Students across the city are once again packed into school hallways. And despite social distancing guidance, they really are packed.
You say 3 feet, you're barely even getting 3 inches.
Sophomore Max Beatty has been frustrated by these overcrowded hallways. But it's not just a problem at the high school. Louise Maher, an eighth grader at Emerson Junior High, has also experienced this.
During passing period, people tend to get kind of squished trying to get in and out of classrooms.
But she's found a way to avoid that specific crush.
You just kind of have to hang back until things clear out a little bit.
Inadequate social distancing is not the only safety concern with students back on campus. Even though junior Melissa Lee is staying home, she's witnessed people ignoring safety guidelines.
So far, I've seen people like taking off their masks sometimes, or even eating in classrooms.
This has already led to a COVID case at Emerson. Beatty's younger brother was in the same class as the child who tested positive and has been quarantining at home.
The entire family's been tested. We haven't gotten results back, but we have been tested.
Despite the seemingly high risk of COVID infection, COVID concerns were not the top reason people made the decision that they did.
It was really hard for my mental health to be home all day.
That's Melody Tun, a sophomore who decided to return to campus. She's been enjoying being in the classroom.
It's a breath of fresh air.
However, she's noticed the disrespect many people are showing towards virus protocols.
The hallways are extremely crowded, and I've noticed the teachers don't really wipe down the desks in between periods.
Lee's decision to not go back was more practical. She's a competitive figure skater and goes to lots of competitions.
Online school is kind of something my family and I like always wanted to do. So just being able to do school like from the car anywhere, it was just something that was really convenient and it worked out really well.
COVID played a role in her decision too. She was concerned with the potential effects of long COVID on her athletic ability.
So especially in athletes, they don't know like the long-term risks of contracting it, especially like in your lungs.
Sophomore Sean Gao stayed at home as well. He didn't want to have to wake up early and rush to school every morning.
Like sometimes I barely make it to first period on time anyways.
He's noticed people who are close friends completely ignoring the safety protocol.
Sometimes people get a little overeager to see their friends again, and they don't properly maintain 3 feet of distance between themselves. So.
Beatty's mom is a teacher at Emerson. He said the decision to go back was logical.
If she's going in person, there's no point in me not going in person.
But when he was asked if he would make the decision again, he clarified that it hadn't really been his decision to make.
I would not want to go in person. I have not wanted to go in person. I don't get to sleep in. I have to bike, but understand why my mom wants to be in person and my dad wants to be in person.
Maher returned in person because she was afraid of the quality of education on Zoom.
I figured that since teachers were going to try to be juggling simulcasting, that the people who were in distance learning would kind of get a little bit left behind.
That's a concern that's shared by a lot of people, and so far it seems to be true. Here's Gao.
I think the teachers have begun to interact less with the online classes because they have like half of a classroom in front of them, which they have to teach.
But it hasn't exactly been smooth sailing for the people who've gone back. Across the district, there have been massive Wi-Fi failures because many people are on the same bandwidth.
The whole first day, there was no internet.
Maher wonders if it would have been easier to stay home. Her science teacher, Mr. Slezeski, has been continuing to teach from his house because he's at a high risk for COVID. But she says they're making it work.
So we have a substitute in the classroom. So Mr. S is up on the speakers and on the, like, big screen.
Like most students, Tun thinks the decision she made was right for her.
It's been better for my education and for my mental health.
For the Blue Devil Hub, I'm Max Davis Housefield.
Finding the most effective way to satisfy all students' needs, with some remaining on Zoom and others present in the classroom, is especially challenging for teachers. Stella Mays has the story.
The first week back to in-person school for art teacher Kyle Monholland was exciting, but nevertheless intense, especially the first Monday back on campus.
After 15 years of teaching, but then just, you know, 1 year of distance learning, I started realizing I wondered if I knew how to teach real people again, but it only took a little bit of time with students back in the classroom for that, to remember that that's second nature and that's the good part.
The transition, after more than a year of distance learning, doesn't come without its challenges. The first week was frustrating at times for history teacher Fern O'Brien, especially when there were internet issues.
But for the most part, it's been really exciting. And that is really in contrast to, say, the week before, where I think me, and I can speak for some of my teacher friends, we were really stressed out, just worried about social distancing and keeping students safe and how we're going to do this. So I am pleasantly surprised. It's really great.
What's more, equitable access to education is a concern when a portion of the student body is returning to school in person and the remaining portion is continuing through Zoom. According to O'Brien, making sure all students are receiving an equal quality of education has been a primary goal of hers. Similarly, Monholland wants to establish a sense of togetherness in his classes between those on Zoom and those in person.
We're here for community, we're here for education, and it could be tricky. And I think teachers are really, we're working hard and making a lot of efforts to make sure everybody feels welcome, included, and met where they need to be.
As the coronavirus pandemic is not yet eradicated, the district is implementing many safety precautions to keep students and staff safe.
I've done everything I can do, and the district and the school site in particular has done a really great job with all the technical things that need to be done. I'm vaccinated doubly now, and feel like even though that's not the answer to everything, psychologically it's helpful to know that I've got that level of protection.
Despite the safety precautions and guidelines, the ability for O'Brien and Monholland to see their students in person for the first time this school year has been beyond fun.
It can't help but lift you up, you know, to see them. And for the students that are distance learning, you know, whenever they give you any feedback, that is fabulous too.
It's just, you get different relationships when you can make eye contact and engage in that way. It's very easy to kind of hide behind that, you know, having your camera off. There's still definitely really good ways to be engaged and learn that way. It's just, it's a little bit harder.
To feel the energy of real human students has been a relief from the isolation of Zoom classes for both O'Brien and Monholland.
And especially with students who are coming back, you know, next year and year after, to know that, you know, they're in a really positive place that they get to come back to.
I'm happy in my heart that way. Yeah.
For BlueDevilHub.com, this is Stella Mays reporting.
The news cycle is produced by the Blue Devil Hub in collaboration with the Davis Enterprise. Katrina Hawes and Jihan Moon are the producers. Our theme music is by Daniel Ruiz Jimenez. Thank you for listening. See you next week, Davis.